Hey, Smatters.
Hey.
How was your week?
Meh.
Same. Mine was rough. Like, super rough. Just a lot of work stuff.
Scratch cat.
Scratch cat! Y'all, Troy found this video, and it is so funny. This guy... It's got these three girls, and they're all excited about what college they got accepted to. And he makes fun of all three of them, and it is the funniest thing ever. It's like the more you watch it, the funnier it gets.
He's not making fun of them, really. He's making fun of their...
How they talk.
Their excitement.
Yeah. But it's so funny, and if you keep watching it... I haven't laughed so hard in a long time. Like, we've both... been laughing till tears have come out of our eyes. I wish I knew who it was so we could tell him, but...
Yeah, I'll look it up later and see if I can find it.
Maybe we can post it on the Instagram and y'all can see it.
On the Instagram?
What do you call it? On our Instagram? which is Supernatural Smut Podcast, y'all.
I bet you say the Walmarts too, don't you?
I do not do that. My dad used to do that and it would drive me crazy. I'm going to the Walmarts. Do you need anything? I used to hate that. Also, happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there.
The cooter shears.
What?
Huh?
Stop.
What?
Okay. We hope you have a wonderful day. Maybe, well, I don't know if this is going to brighten your day.
Cooter shear.
What's a cooter? Oh my gosh. Not all moms are cooter shooters, okay? Some are stepmoms, some are fur baby moms, any kind of mom. Happy Mother's Day. So,
MILF moms.
MILF moms too. Gotta have your MILF moms.
Can I be a DILF dad?
Yes, you're definitely a DILF. Tonight we are doing one of our haunted ritual games. And y'all, this one shook me. It's scary. I was, you know, because sometimes we do games. Everybody likes the games and they're easy to research. they're basically so great because after you do like a really heavy topic, you can do a game and they're just as scary and they're fun to do and people seem to like them. This one shook me. It is terrifying. So... maybe this is one that you'll want to try. You think?
You'll think.
I'm talking about you trying it.
Oh, me? Yeah. No, I'm trying that shit.
Okay.
I'm not.
You're not crazy.
I'm not accepting myself to torture.
Okay. That's fair. So, what the game we are doing tonight is called the Hooded Man Ritual. That already sounds scary, y'all. you need one player, no more. You need to have two black cords or ropes measuring half a meter in length. How much is a meter?
See, that's the whole problem. I've been having this discussion with someone else.
Who?
Well, in Discord.
Oh, okay.
I do not like the metric system.
Okay.
Even though the rest of the world is on the metric system.
Right.
The United States is not.
No.
I mean, we will literally measure a football field or something and say it's the length of 12 and a half camels before we say it's something in meters.
Yes, right.
But I prefer our measuring system versus the metric because we never was taught that in school. No. You know,
Now I remember like when we were little making our little paper rulers and you know, but that was when we were.
See,
I didn't
learn that stuff.
You didn't do that?
They did it. From what I understand, I actually researched this. The metric system was taught for a short period of time in the public school systems, but it didn't go over well for some reason and then they did away with it again.
I didn't go to public school, but like, yeah, we would cut out our little paper rulers and mark them and stuff. And then, like, actually have math over it and stuff, and it was so confusing. But how much, can you look and see how much a meter is?
I think it's like 2 feet. I don't know. This is embarrassing.
You know, the Europeans listening to this show are probably like...
1 meter is 3 feet and 3.37 inches.
That's a ridiculous number.
See, like it doesn't... I mean, sorry, Euros, but...
Fucking Americans, I swear. Anyway, but yeah, you're going to measure half a meter in length, which is 3.37. Okay. You will also need, and this is going to make it hard for you guys to play this game, a telephone. Now, if you don't know what a telephone is, it's like your cell phone with a cord attached to it that goes into the wall.
Could you imagine if people had to do, like kids had to dial up the internet nowadays?
I love seeing those videos where they give the kids something and they're like, what do you do with this? And yeah. Our kids would probably pass out because they would have no clue. It's so funny. But yeah, you'll need a telephone if you have access to an old-fashioned rotary phone. That's one of the phones that spin, right? Oh my gosh. My great-grandmother used to have one, and it took me forever to learn how to use that.
What do you mean great-grandmother?
My great-grandma.
Everybody had one.
It is suggested that you use that, and it will provide the greatest effect. A modern touch-tone phone will also work, although it is recommended that it be of a corded variety. Cordless or cell phones may present some difficulties and are not recommended. You need matches or a lighter, a watch, and salt. Any kind of ritual that has salt to me, you know you're about to summon some demons or something. You know it?
Sam and Dean.
Sam and Dean, y'all. So, prior to the beginning, perform a cleansing ritual in the location... if I could talk... location in which you plan to perform the Hooded Man ritual, burning a sage smudge stick and spreading salt or ash before the front door are recommended. And I'm guessing they do that so nothing can get in. Shut all the doors, close all the windows, and draw all the curtains. Turn off the lights as well as all electronic devices. Set the two black cords as well as the matches or lighter near the phone. Empty your pockets of any power or protection items, but keep the watch on your person. Now, what you're going to do is, you're going to call a cab, but it's not going to be a normal cab like Uber or anything like that. This is going to be a scary cab. So, you're going to begin at night. You're going to sit down in front of the telephone and count to the number 13. Then, leaving the phone on the hook, dial the following number. 204-96-888.
Oh my God, you know what I just thought about?
You just scared me. This story scares me.
Not to interrupt, sorry, but like, can you imagine... like, our kids would have no idea, but how you used to spell out a text message from the numbers on the keypad.
That would be so fun. I remember the first time, like, I'd been texting for a little bit, but my dad found out what texting was, and I texted him this long message, and he had just learned how, and, like, 30 minutes later, he texts back, and it said, hi. And it was, like, the cutest thing, and then after dad learned how to text, he was doing it constantly, and he'd, like... hello. It was so funny.
Texting was...
oh, my gosh. It really did. Because I remember, like, when my friends didn't know how, and I would text them, and they'd be like, how are you doing it? And I'm like, I'm so magic. I can't... And I wouldn't tell them.
Yeah, but their parents found out they were receiving text messages, and their bill was... but they found out then.
Fuck around and find out.
Why is our bill $2,000?
All right, tie one black cord securely to the telephone's handset. Lift the handset by holding the cord only, then dial the following number. 255-15823.
What does that spell out?
I don't know. Count to 13 and set the handset down. Do not hang it back on the cradle. Speak the following words into the receiver. Hello, I need a cab. Untie the first black cord from the handset and replace it with the second one, making sure to secure it tightly. Burn the first cord immediately if possible. If it is not possible to do it immediately, burn it as soon as you have completed the ritual. Open the curtains and look outside. If you have completed steps 1 through 5 correctly, you will see a black taxi cab parked outside.
And see, that's another thing, that we don't have taxi cabs anymore either. It's mainly Ubers.
Yeah, that's true. Exit the building, locking the door behind you, and climb into the cab's empty back seat. Lock the door and go to sleep. What do you think so far? Would you get in the cab?
Hell no, I wouldn't get in the cab. But I think you do need to put, for our younger listeners, I think you need to post a picture of a rotary phone.
I think I already did. I may have, but I'll do it again for this. During the ride, when you awaken, use your watch to check the time. If your watch reads any time other than 3:30 a.m., exit the cab and re-enter your home within 2 minutes. Proceed the ending step 1. If your watch reads 3:30, go back to sleep. Because guess what? You're in the game. When you awaken from... Well, I hope you're in the game when you get in the cab. Otherwise, you're getting kidnapped. So, when you awaken for the second time, you will find the cab to be driving on a highway with a man wearing a hood at the wheel. Do not do any of the following. Panic. Attempt to get out of the cab while it is moving. Speak to any other passengers the cab may pick up. Now, y'all, this is kind of like the elevator game. You don't want to do that. But we do have an experience where they do that. So, we'll get to that in a few. When you're ready to end your ride, lean close to the hooded man's ear and say the following words, slowly and deliberately. I have reached my destination. You will fall asleep one last time. When you awaken, you will have returned to your starting location. Once you have returned to your starting location, seat yourself before the phone once more and dial the following number. 200082. Use the black cord to lift the handset, set it down, and recite the following words into the receiver. Thank you for the ride. Untie the black cord from the handset, burn it, then bury the ashes of both. Of the first cord in the ground. Scatter salt over the top of the burial site and perform a cleansing ritual. Sage, salt, or other items of protection may be used during the cleansing rituals performed before and after the Hooded Man ritual itself. However, they should not be carried with you while you are performing the ritual. Should you feel threatened, followed, stalked, or unsafe at any point during the ritual, do not proceed. If you have not yet gotten in the back of the cab, do not enter it. If you have, perform step 5 of during the ride. Panicking and attempting to exit the moving vehicle or speaking to other passengers may result in dire or fatal consequences. Do not, under any circumstances, perform those actions. You may allow the cab ride to continue on as long as you desire. However, it should be noted that the longer the ride, the more difficult it is to emerge from the landscapes through which the cab passes. Should you wish to return to the same world you left, it is recommended that you do not allow the cab ride to go on for undue amounts of time. It is unknown what happens when the cab stops. If you are feeling adventurous, you may attempt to find out. but don't count on being able to return home again once you get there. So, I read a lot of different experiences, and a lot of people said that in these so-called landscapes, they saw body parts, just terrifying stuff. And then there was one girl, and she said that she saw just it almost zombie-like people, like trying to get in the cab and stuff, just really scary. This one I found, this experience, and I think it's a guy, was saying, I'm sorry y'all, I've got the hiccups, was saying how he spoke to somebody that got in the car. So, we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give y'all a little warning. There's one story, but there's a continuation to the story that I'll go over. Now, when I read the continuation to the story, because the person tries it again to find out who this person is he met on the ride. Once he finds out who it is, at the very end of the story, when I was researching, it says, I'm sorry I had you read this far, but he now knows who you are. So, that just gave me chills. If you feel uncomfortable...
Are they multiplying?
They really are. If you feel uncomfortable with this story, just wait till next week. Don't listen to it. Or once I get done with the first part of it, I can tell you I'm about to start the second part. If you want to listen, you can. If you don't want to take that chance, don't. But I do just want to warn you guys, because I got kind of pissed off after I read it, and they were like, sorry. But, you know, that's just what happened. So if you believe in this stuff and it just terrifies you, just wait till next week, y'all.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Because Troy was asleep when I was researching this, and I found the first part, and I was like, well, that's a good little story. Well, then I kept looking around, and I found the second part, and it said that, and I got terrified because all the lights were off, and I was just on my phone, like, looking around and stuff, and it did scare me. So, we are going to dive on into the second, or the first story. And as I said, I'll let you know when we start the second story so you can decide if you want to listen or not. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
And guess what? We're in this together, so you get to hear the second story.
Negative.
Yes.
I'm playing games on my phone.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay, so this is a lady that wrote it. I think it's about time I shared this story. It's been plaguing me for such a long time. For a while, I've been searching for ways to leave the earth. I didn't necessarily want to kill myself. I just wanted to leave. Lurking on Reddit, I came across the story and read several experiences. I kept reminding myself that they're just stories written by people to entertain Redditors. But so many of them seemed so real. I thought, this is my ticket. This is my ticket out of here. All I have to do is call the cab, get in, and never get out. I bring my laptop out in the living room with me with a site that instructs me how to do it. I did the cleansing ritual, and I burnt sage and a sage smudge stick. I spread salt before the front door. I shut all of my doors, windows, closed the blinds the best I could because I don't have curtains on all my windows. I turned off all the lights and electronics besides my laptop, which I needed to read the instructions. I even wrote a will. That's so sad. Since I don't plan on coming back, which, since you're reading this, it obviously means I returned. Step 4. Take off all but all of your protection charms. I laughed at this.
What about your clothes?
You know, that would make for an interesting taxi ride. Just show up naked.
Taxi cab confessions on HBO, remember that?
Yes. Now it's a party. Okay, so, she said, I don't want to protect myself. I hate myself, so why would I do anything to protect myself? Y'all, I feel really bad for this girl, the way she's feeling right now. She does get more self-confidence, and she, you know, she does end up changing her mind, I believe. I read over everything over and over again before finally shutting off my laptop. I thought about selling the thing I worked so hard to get, since I'm about to lose my house in 30 days. But what's the point? I'm leaving. I sat down with my telephone. I counted to 13 and dialed the number. I tied the cord securely to the handset and lifted it to dial the next number. Counting to 13, I set it down, but not hanging up. Hello? I need a cab. Then I untied the cord and took it off, setting it aside. I don't need to burn it, I thought. I tied the new one on and got up to leave. Looking outside, I saw nothing. A huge shame. I really wanted to leave, but at the same time, I was a skeptic. That or I just needed to look harder. Because across the street, parked on the side, was a black cab. I blinked two or three times before cautiously stepping out towards it. I couldn't believe it was parked right there. I walked around it four times before looking inside, then checking to see if there were keys in the ignition. I didn't go inside the cab for a while, but finally I tried the back door and it opened. It was a black cab parked conveniently right there. And I began to cry. Finally, I can rid myself of this world. Going inside, I laid down, but I was too excited to go to sleep. So I lied down for as long as I can, occasionally sitting up and looking around. I even felt the seat, which wasn't leather like the other story said. It was this other material. It was soft, but not too soft. Cold, if anything. I couldn't believe I was here. There was cup holders that were slightly sticky from spills, and there was dirt on the floor of the car. Slight scratches on the side of the door. It was hard to sleep, though, because of the lump in the third seat and the seatbelt buckle pointing and prodding my side. I tried shoving them as far as I can, closing my eyes and resting my head on my arms. Finally, sleep took me. I did wake up by my knees hurting from being cramped. I got up and looked around. Remembering the ritual I did, I quickly looked at my watch. It was too dark, so I pressed a button that made it light up. 3:31 a.m. Couldn't be that bad, right? Remembering what to do, I nodded to myself and laid back down. Having slept once already made it easier to fall asleep again. And the story is true. I woke up to the sounds of the highway. It brought back memories of what it was like when I was a teen with my family when we went on road trips across the country. It hurt to think about. I miss those days. Although the outside didn't look like what it used to be, maybe different, more strange colors. I inspected the hooded man driving the car. The hands weren't skeletal like I imagined. In fact, they were fairly tanned. And I'm going to stop right there. Out of all the stories I read, everybody was like, his hands were tan. So,
on different stories they were?
Yeah, everybody said the same thing. And, like, when you think about a hooded man driving, like, a haunted taxi, you think
or
of, like,
or something.
Yeah. I thought of skeleton hands immediately. I was thinking of, like, the Grim Reaper or something, you know? Just like another story I read, I made myself comfortable in the seat behind him. If anyone got in this car, I would like to be able to go. Wait, why am I thinking this? I don't even want to go back. So I changed my spot to the other side of the car. No buckling myself in. I'm leaving for good. I rested my head on the window, staring on the outside. I wanted to know what I'd see. I wondered if I was seeing the same things that others wrote, because this is all of a dream made up for my imagination. But it didn't look like a sea of torture they described. If anything, it looked more alien. It didn't look like anything of Earth. I looked back at the hooded man once in a while, and then ahead. Other cars took the highway, and I directed my attention outside once more. It was pretty interesting to see the scenery change. Maybe if I could afford artistic equipment at the moment, I would illustrate it. Maybe 2 hours into the ride, the car stops. My first thought was, good, I can stretch my legs, but my brain reminded me of why I'm here and how this cab driver may not be like I expected. Then I remembered other warnings about not talking to any passengers it may pick up. Someone got in. Someone so tall. I'm 6'5". This guy was taller than that.
6'5"?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I tried not to look at him. Or at least I think it's a him. Maybe they don't have concepts of gender. But man, it was more masculine than feminine. His clothes were outlandish too. But I kept staring out the window. I'll admit I was feeling really fucking nervous. I'm somewhere else. I'm in a cab riding to who knows where. And I don't know what will happen to me. But then I thought, why am I avoiding this stranger? I'm letting this thing take me as far as it'll go because I don't want to go back. And if what they say is true, if it will kill me, so be it. So I talked. Hey, I said nervously, glancing over the... I'm like, hey there.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? I looked at him. He was tall and his complexion was fair. He had a pretty good face. He almost looked like a prince.
Was it a dilf?
Maybe. She doesn't know exactly. I can't even begin to describe his eyes, but they were entrancing and unlike anything I've ever seen. They constantly changed color. Again, his face was so perfect. I couldn't stop looking once I have. His hair just about came down to his eyebrows at the back. It wasn't cut any shorter. He couldn't have been human, but why would he have human features? Human-styled hair. I wanted to ask, but at the time I couldn't. I was entranced. Hello, the thing spoke back to me so calmly. So calmly, so soothingly. He was so relaxed, and when he looked at me, I couldn't look away. I was mesmerized. I didn't know how to reply, but it gave me a smile, and I could feel myself melt. Not literally. I didn't want to leave the cab. I didn't want to return to Earth, and I don't want to die. I must have felt like a fool looking at this creature with such awe. The eyes again, was unlike anything I've ever seen. They shifted colors, but in a way, it was so beautiful, I felt like I was looking at the universe, but also at him. That's how I feel when I look at you.
I figured as much.
At the same time, there was another thing about him that didn't quite necessarily reek of dread or evil, but it was dark. He had a dark aura about. Like, you know how in the movie Hercules, the gods in the movies were glowing? He was too, but with his darkness instead of light. He wasn't any being of light, but man, his eyes. I can't draw it. I can only imagine it. He had a crown on his head, too. Just a small, thin, black crown. He wore a long coat. Not like a trench coat, because the design wasn't anything I've seen in stores. His clothing wasn't like the male British royal clothing, but it was pretty close. It's the closest thing I can think of anything. So I'm pretty confused as well. He was beautiful, entrancing, calm, serene, but so, so dark. And the smell wasn't bad. If anything, I shit you not, smelled pretty close to maple syrup. Now, I wouldn't want to smell like maple syrup. I was probably expecting him to kill me like what the instruction says, but he didn't. We didn't talk much more. I actually looked away, back out the window. It seemed like there wasn't any land anymore, and it began to look more like the far outskirts of space. I sat in the cab with this thing in silence, but it's like the darkness radiating off of this being seemed to calm me in such a strange, odd way. But now thinking back on it, he was reeking with a sinister aura. I didn't sense it then, because it was like my senses were so numbed, down like that one Greek story I once read about at the time. I didn't want to go home. I decided. I wanted to go where this thing was going. I did want to follow it, but that's when it said something that surprised the shit out of me. Why do you not return? I fidgeted in my seat, gulping and glancing at the hooded man, even though it wasn't him who spoke. I don't want to. Why is that? The being said. I tried not to look at it again, but I didn't know why I was resisting so much. It's not like it killed me so far or caused me any pain. But it simply sat next to me and just talked. I don't like the way my life has been going, I said honestly, and I decided to leave. Why? It asked. I wish I could have talked to him forever, just to listen to his voice, but I couldn't. I felt like it even knew how much I was stressing over this. I know the feeling of falling in love. I had a girlfriend who was about to propose to, she was about to propose to, but she died. I felt like I fell in love again, but not in a romantic way. I guess it was pretty similar to how my parents described them falling in love with their Christian God. So I told him my problems, which I won't describe here for personal reasons. And he listened intently, which writing this now, I find it kind of dumb. I go on this paranormal journey. I disobey the rules and talk to this being that could kill me. And they're talking to me like a therapist. Pretty stupid, right? At the time, I didn't think so. He nodded thoughtfully before looking onward. I sunk back in my seat, feeling so dumb sharing my feelings with someone who I barely knew, who wasn't even human, who's probably royal due to his clothes and crown. He was silent for a while before gently telling me a solution. Have you ever tried? Yes, writing it now, it seems stupid. I won't share what he said because it was so personal, but it really struck a chord in me, and I felt like I could go back. I felt like I could make things right again, and most importantly, it gave me a reason to live. I had a feeling he sensed this, and he smiled at me. Then we began talking more about life and death. It didn't really matter to him much. He just seemed more interested in what I had to say about things. When I asked him about his thoughts, they seemed to scare me a little. He didn't like free will and thought to limit it. Now, this struck me as the biggest odd because I thought for sure this was the devil. Wasn't the devil pro-free will? But still, the way he spoke, I found myself nodding in agreement. He made me feel like anything he said was right and was the greatest truth. I guess a lot of these things rose so many red flags, but I couldn't stop listening. I guess I came to admire him so much, it was nearly like worshiping, that in a strange way, he seemed to feed off of it. He seemed more powerful. Anyway, but not by much. I felt like such a lost sheep. He even touched me, putting his hand on my shoulder in a possessive way, and I'll admit, it felt good, until I thought differently than he did. I began to feel a bit of pain in my right rib. To not feel this pain, I quickly adjusted myself to agreeing with him more. Reaching the end of the conversation, he asked me, "Would you like to go home?" I thought on this. I didn't want to, but this entity just gave me a solution that inspired me to go back and keep living. I nodded, in which he returned with a small smile on his lips, and he told the hooded man something in really odd language. I never heard anything like it before. It says what it sounded like, but I can't pronounce any of that, so y'all just think of something that sounds crazy. Which my memory may not have served me right, but that's what it sounded like. I know I remember it more because I was always so intently listening to the sound of his voice. He turned to me again, the same gentle smile gracing his lips. "Will you let me watch over you?" I didn't know what to say. If I had refused, he probably would have been angry, but the look on his face and the tone in his voice, the entirety of him himself was so entrancing, I couldn't say no. So I said yes. If I had said no, I could only assume he'd be pissed and curse me, kind of acting like those straight white boys texting harassing girls who say no when they don't want dick pics. Well, then he said, "Will you let me have my hand in control of your life?" Red flags anyone, plenty to go around, so many red flags. But did I see the red flag? No. What did I do? I said yes, breathlessly. "Then you were mine. Sleep." He said the last word like a command, and before I knew it, I felt like I was hit with the tranquilizer dart, because my vision began giving out, and I couldn't even hold myself up any longer. I was out. I woke up, in my home, the next day around noon. I shrugged it off as a dream. I opened up my laptop, and it greeted me with the page that I left it on previously. The steps on how to do this ritual, which reminded me I should thank the hooded man for the ride. As I was doing so, I remembered the entity I met. I felt anger rising in my chest as I had not asked him his name, what he is, or anything else that could have gotten me anywhere. I thanked the hooded man through the phone and burned the cords. I was thinking about all the things that happened, not from the beginning, but from the end to the beginning. All the red flags, they began to worry me. But just as I was, my anger shot down instantly, and I felt serene again. I remembered his suggestions on how to improve my life, and I followed them. And when I did, I thanked him like a prayer, and in a way, I became mesmerized again. Like, it's not me, but it is me, but I'm not in control anymore. Not that I'm really complaining, because I have a damn stable job with lots of money rolling in. I have a cute dog that I must live every day to feed, and so far, life is really good. Besides the fact, I'm not even sure what I can do and can't do. I feel like I've been claimed. I don't even know if this story is about the Hooded Man anymore, but every time I do something different, my right rib cage begins to hurt. So much that it brings me into submission, and I do whatever that doesn't get me hurt, really. In a way, I never feel alone. Even writing this story is making my rib cage hurt. I went to the doctors about it, but they reported nothing. I paid for an x-ray, which I could actually afford, and nothing came up. I don't have control in what I do anymore, but this experience turned my life around for the better. I don't know what this means. I also notice that shadows move on their own all the time. A tall figure is always standing in the mirror, hidden. If you stare for too long, it dissolves, and you think it was just something in your brain you made up. This happens every single time I look in the mirror. It happens way too much for me to dismiss. If anyone has any information about what the hell I meant, please tell me. I'm afraid I'm going to delete this story against my will. So, that is the end of the first part of the story. Okay? Now, that's scary. You know, they don't know if they still have their free will, right? So, what are your thoughts? Who do you think this man could be?
I have no idea.
But it's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, scary.
Scary. So, let's go to part two.
Boom, boom, boom.
And y'all, this is a pretty long episode tonight.
And I'm sorry, y'all, but y'all just don't do this stuff.
It's really scary. If you do, though, I would love to know what happens, because I'm so just, this story. Now, this is the second part, and as I said, if you feel funny about listening to it because of what I told you, don't listen to it. But this is the reveal. This tells you everything you need to know, because this person decided to go back for another ride and comes back and sees the man again. This time, though, they brought a pen and paper to ask questions. So, right. But this is the second part of the story, so that's your warning. Huh?
Could have recorded it.
Right. Well, you can't bring any electronics, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're kind of old school in these other worlds. They need to catch up.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as ghosts nowadays. Remember that meme I sent you? They quit making ghosts after Civil War.
Yeah.
You don't ever see a guy with a man bun and a jewel.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. All right. Okay, here's the second part. And as I said, it's kind of long, but y'all seem to like the longer stories. Let's see. Hey, everyone. I'm glad my story got your attention, and I made a decision to go back into the cab. It's a shaky decision I made after a debate going on between two users who had opposing sides. One tried to help me, and the other tried to drag me down. I'm sorry you couldn't save me, but I have to obey. I'm writing everything down in this pad of paper I have to make sure I can get every detail. I wrote down somewhere on here all the questions that I need to ask, and I'm sitting right by the phone, tying the cord around and performing the ritual a second time. I'm already halfway through it. I already closed the blinds the best I can. I just asked for a cab, and I decided to burn the cord. Nothing in the ritual said I can't bring a pad of paper with me, right? I tucked it under my jacket and waited before looking outside. Before I continue, I should blatantly say that I'm scared that soon I won't be myself, and I may become a different person. There it is, guys, the cab. The cab is really here again, and the shadows I mentioned, they're more visible too. Without hesitation, I go inside the cab and I lay down, making myself comfortable and pushing the belt buckles aside so they no longer hurt my back. It's harder to write on the sheet in the dark outside like this, but the light in my watch makes it easier. Good night. All right, I already woke up and it's 3:32 a.m. No one is in the cab but me, and it's time to go back to sleep. I woke up again to driving, and he's here again. He's sitting by me as I'm writing this, watching thoughtfully. When I woke up, he was already in the cab, and my head was in his lap. There wasn't any more room for me to go, and I sat up pretty quickly. He greeted me with a gentle hello. I know I described him so beautiful in my story, but man, seeing it again, I feel like I didn't do my previous description enough justice. I asked him if it's okay if I ask him questions, and he nodded understandably. So I started with my first question. Who are you? He answers, I am a god, soon to be higher than any other. This struck me as cryptic. What are you? Had I not already told you? I am a god. And that brought a new question to the surface. Were you always a god? This being was surprised by this question. Momentarily before his gentle and calm expression calmed me again, he shook his head. No, but it's very easy to rise to power. Is it okay if I ask you what you were? I was an angel, he said, but I have risen high. I am a god. I don't know anything about this kind of thing. I didn't even really consider angels exist, but the way he spoke, I believed him. And I may actually still believe him. He could have been lying, and this was just something he wanted me to hear, or someone reading this wanted to hear. I wrote down the advice someone commented in the previous thing I posted, and I looked at it. To keep a clear head and to not say yes to everything he says, I can try to go through with this. I accepted this answer as truth and looked at my next question and asked how old he is. How old are you? He chuckled slightly at this. Older than time, he replied. I have seen time be created at the hands of the Creator. Again, this could be another lie. He's just saying this like someone's been wanting this answer. Maybe I wanted this answer in some odd way. By Creator, I can only assume he means God. So then I asked, have you ever been worshipped? He nods with a smile. Always. I am constantly worshipped. Your outward feelings towards me, your reverence, is a sign of worship. All of my followers worship me, for my empire is vast. Your empire? I repeat, surprised by this new information. Yes, I am the head of a vast empire. Big? Like it's everywhere? How come I haven't heard of you before? I asked. Because I only reveal myself to a chosen few. Those people choose to stay quiet about me, and some don't even know I'm in control. I felt bad knowing that I'm sharing this story on the internet now. Is what I'm doing bad then? I asked. Is this what you want? I'll take it down. No, you may share me. Do not speak of me too broadly, for my title and the name of my people must remain unknown. He claims himself to be God and the head of an empire. I guess I should have figured out due to his appearance, his thin crown and royal clothing. But why would someone like you, a god, spend time with me? He looked at me with these gentle eyes and reassuring smile. Unlike the Creator, I answer and come to those who are in need. Not only that, but I too can be omnipresent. I nearly began trembling. I felt so special, but also so out of place talking to this being. So your empire that you're head of and your followers, is it all a cult? Not so much of a cult, but a religion, he says after shaking his head. And I am the god of it. A religion, and you're the god of it. Should I call you God? No, but you should call me Father. I nodded. I didn't know what else to say. I mean, my parents were Christian, but as a teen, I fell away from faith. Yes, Father. He smiled triumphantly, which, although the atmosphere was calm, his reaction unsettled me. I felt weird calling him Father, and I felt unsafe if I were to ask why. But I still went along with it. I looked over my notepad. So some people that saw the story thought you're the devil. He laughed. I assure you I am not the devil or Satan. Shall you call me Satan, you're establishing me as an enemy. Or if they are referring to me as Lucifer, they are also wrong. Lucifer is a fool. I nodded, feeling my eyes dry out slightly. And if I keep following you, where will I go when I die? I asked, remembering the comments and the words eternal damnation. Not heaven, he answered sternly, but also not hell. You shall live with me in my own realm of protection as your soul is mine. Why shall I throw a loyal, obedient soul in the lake of fire for being nothing but faithful? I felt relieved, although he could be lying, but it makes so much more sense to me in being here with him. It's like he's in control of how I feel and how I think. Thank you, Father. I blinked at my own words. I only meant to say thank you, but the rest just came out like water coming out of a pop. Others were also wondering how to contact you. His eyes gleamed, which of course made them more beautiful than they already were. Of course, I shall teach you how. He instructed me to flip the page on my notepad and showed me how to draw this special board and told me to use that, which I instructed you, and pour a glass of water. There is a link on this, y'all, but I'm not going to give it out. Sorry. Set it on the board, pray to me, and that water will become pure with my essence. And with that, you shall now dip a pendulum into the water and pray to me. The pendulum you chose will be mine, and I may speak to you through it. What's a pendulum, I ask? It is an instrument for divination, he answers, only used by many as an easy tool to communicate. Pray often, and I will answer. Thank you for all of this, I say, looking over what I was instructed to draw. But is there a catch? All you have to do is worship me. Now I realize I'm not knee-deep into this mess. My whole body is buried and my chin is barely out of the surface. I'm not sure there was a way out. Is it okay if I share all of this online? He nods. Of course. I know this will give me more followers, and then I shall reveal myself unto them. All they must do is pray to me and follow the instructions I have shown you. I wanted to hide my emotions from him in case I'll make him angry, but at this point I'm sad. I feel like a tool. Even if he made me feel special and loved, I feel like I'm putting others in danger. I know every individual soul reading your story, he says, and with their knowledge of me, I know I can go into their lives and they too can know the truth and follow me. I felt a little overwhelmed, so I nodded and gulped. I didn't want to be here any longer. May I please go back home, I ask? He nods. As you wish. Sleep. Just like last time, I felt like I was hit with a tranquilizer dart and woke back up. In my home. It's noon again. I'm sorry for taking so long to update, but I had to revise my paper and transfer it all into text, edit things, and make sure I got all the details down. But for those wishing to save me, I'm sorry I failed you. I think it's too late to save me now, and I might become some sort of mindless follower worshiping some entity I don't even know much of. And I guess this is also a warning to everyone else about this thing. He said he knows everyone reading this, and with you reading this, I put you in danger. I am so sorry, and I had no idea this would happen. So you all have a head start. Save yourself first before you get in too deep like I did. And for those wanting these things in your lives, well, you got it. All you have to do is draw the board, get a pendulum, or whatever that looks like. I'm still looking into it, and do that thing. Please be safe, everyone. And that's the end.
Damn.